Thankful to God for the opportunity to stand before you this morning to give us all an opportunity to worship Him together, to now listen to His Word to us. I invite you to get a Bible, join us in a consideration of what God has said to us. And please understand that that's the intent and direction of what we have to say this morning, is to verify what we say from the Word of God. It's not our intent, not our desire to promotes human wisdom, human philosophy, human insights, rather to be content with the wisdom that God has revealed to us of His very mind, in the words that we can understand, that we can put our faith in, that we can direct our life concerning. And so that's why we want a Bible in front of us, so that we're listening to God, so that we're verifying what is said here and done here in the light of truth. When we solicit that of you, if you have questions about what we practice or what we teach, if you believe that something we said or done is not found in the Word of God, not consistent with God's message, then we sincerely ask you to let us know that, so that we can investigate and examine that ourselves, so that we can be sure that we put away the things that are not in the Word of God, and that we can more closely align ourselves with truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me." He has revealed that truth in a word that we can hear, that we can believe, and we can obey. If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to listen to the Word of God. You need to allow God's Word to establish faith in your heart. You need to trust what God says. His Word is right. You need to put your trust in it. It will save you. It's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Romans 1 and verse 16. And if you'll this morning confess that Jesus is the Son of God, if you will repent of your sins against God, if you will be baptized for the remission of your sins, God's power will be applied. The blood will be applied. It will wash your sins away. And Jesus will add you to His church. We want to help you accomplish that by each of us listening carefully to God's Word. Could be as Christians that we, by doing so, find sin in our lives. God teaches us to repent of those sins, change our hearts, and conform our life again to truth. So if Christians will confess their sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Let us not take lightly, let us think very seriously and soberly about God's Word and will for our lives. And particularly this morning, concerning the matter of rearing children, the training and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. But we chose Proverbs 4 as a scripture to introduce our thinking this morning on that subject. And I hope that you saw in it, and remind ourselves again from it, that Solomon, the king, as the writer of the Proverbs, inspired by God, says, "Hear, my son," or daughter for that matter, "and receive my sayings." The parent is urging the child to listen to what they have to say. Now, parents have never said that here this morning. I know you've never said to you, "Children, listen to me." And children, I know there's never been a time in your life that your parents said, "Now, are you listening to me? Are you hearing what I'm saying?" Several times over the first few chapters of Proverbs, we find this approach. In fact, chapter 4 and verse 1, we'll come back to later. But look, the father is telling his son, "What I have to tell you is going to improve your life. The years of your life will be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths." Not every parent does that, unfortunately. Not every parent teaches their child the right paths. What we're going to study from God's Word this morning is for parents, in the sense that we want to teach the right paths to our children. And it's for the children from the sense that, and the perspective that, we as children need to hear our parents and heed their instruction, because their interest is to improve our life here on earth and to improve our life eternally. And so, again, the Father says, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Children, listen to the teaching that is the right path of truth from your parents and hold on to it. Do not let it go. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Turn away from it. Don't travel on it. Pass on the other side. You see, as parents, there is a tremendous responsibility to be teaching in the things of this life and also of spiritual life. There are physical responsibilities. There are spiritual responsibilities. I'm reminded of Joseph and Mary, who in the raising of Jesus, it says of Jesus that He was obedient to His parents. That tells me that His parents were training Him, were teaching Him, were accepting the responsibilities laid upon them by the Heavenly Father to rear their child, their son, in his physical life, and also to rear him into things concerning God as he grew in stature and also in favor with God and with men. That's our goal as parents, is to help our children grow physically and spiritually. The effects of parenting are immediate and they're long term. You see from Proverbs 4 that we read, you see the father is telling the son, if you'll hold fast and walk in the path I'm teaching you, and when you wake up and when you live your daily life, it's going to help you now and it's going to have abiding effects for good in your life. It is, of course, the truth of God that we must use to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition or training and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And he says in that passage, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the training and admonition of the Lord. There is the implication that the Lord has given us as fathers and as mothers the tools that we need to accomplish, meet this responsibility of training our children. And to so do it in a way that is not provocative and detrimental, but encouraging and successful in nurturing in the training and admonition of God. Look at chapter 5, 17 and 18, where Paul had previously said, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunken with wine, and wherein is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Point that I'm seeking to make here is that the Spirit of God has revealed to us the mind of God, the will of God, and that is the tool. You see, that's the tool that we apply in our lives morally, in our lives spiritually, in our lives to make decisions of what's going to be right before God or sin against God. And so that's the very tool God expects us as parents to use to bring up or nurture our children in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. When Solomon wrote of wisdom, remember it was God who granted him that great wisdom. God was the source of the wisdom. And it is divine wisdom and divine truth that bears the marks of that which we as parents are to be using and that you as children are to be receiving and holding fast. This is God's order and arrangement for our spiritual life and for our eternal home with Him in heaven. Let's explore it for a few minutes this morning. When in Ephesians 6, remember first he says, do not provoke or arouse your children to wrath. So the decisions we make as parents can have deleterious effects, they can be detrimental, or they can be encouraging and effective so as to provide good opportunity for our children to grow to maturity before God and before men. So he said he uses the word nurture. Bring them up, the New American Standard says. The idea of nurturing is that idea of rearing. So let's explore that for a minute. Let us, in nurturing our children, teach them to respect authority. This very passage implies, or really overtly states just as much. Children, Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. You see in that passage the child being commanded to obey your parents, but see now in verse 4, the father is told not to provoke the child to wrath. Well, surely that must mean just let the child have his own way and do whatever he or she thinks is right, because of course they're always wise and prudent, and from their vast experience they can always wisely make the decisions they need, right? Now he says, children, obey your parents, and parents, now you bring them up in the training of the Lord. Nurture them to respect authority, to be obedient to God and to man. That means teach them to be obedient to you. You see, because as a parent, you are the authority in their life as they're growing up. You are the not only the symbol, but you are the practical application of learning to respect authority. If children are allowed not to respect the authority of the mother and the father, of the parents, then they are not being nurtured. They are not being equipped and prepared to live before God or before men. Hebrews 12 and in verse 9 says, furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? You see, it is when we as children learn to respect our parents that we are learning to, in turn, respect God. But look how respect is defined. It is defined as being in subjection to. Go back to Ephesians 6. Look at this now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Obeying your parent is honoring your father and mother. If you are not an obedient child, you are not honoring your parents. Children, do you hear that? Are you listening to God? Because you see, if we then, as Christians, are not obeying our Heavenly Father, we are not honoring our Heavenly Father. Parents with the responsibility to nurture their children must be teaching respect. In other words, parents, you're the one in charge. You're in charge, not the child. I know that flies in the face of the child nurturing and child development classes of the educated class among us and the universities and places of higher learning. Oh, do not distort the child's development. Teach them independence by letting them make all of the decisions. Well, there's a process, isn't there? Be careful of the extremes. Yes, as you rear your child, as they grow, then little by little you begin to give them such responsibilities. But you do it within a context that you as parents have the authority. You as parents are in charge, not the child. Not the child. The world says something very different. TV says something different. Music says something different. Friends at school say something different. The Bible, however, God's Word, tells us the wisdom and the right way about how to order our arrangement with parents and children so that our children learn respect for authority. Proverbs 1 and verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be gracious, a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. If you take attention and give attention to putting on your earrings and putting on your necklace so that you can adorn yourself in a proper way and in a fashionable way, all the more the reason he says that you ought to hear the instruction of your father and mother. Hold it fast. Don't forsake it. Because it will adorn you beautifully in your character if you learn from them respect for authority. Proverbs 5 and 1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion. and your lips may keep knowledge. In other words, my footnote here on verse 2, that you may appreciate good judgments. See, parents are trying to teach their children good judgments. Unfortunately, sometimes children think they're the ones with the good judgments, but they have not listened to their parents. Where have they learned the good judgments? From the world? From those who are outside of Christ, outside of God, who live in sin and darkness and death? That's the good judgments? No, it's not. It is not. We need to teach our children to respect authority. Parents, not by being abusive or disregarding, not to provoke them to wrath, but with the consistency of teaching them that the world does not revolve around them. The world does not revolve around little Johnny or little Amy. You see, rebelliousness in the heart of the child is a refusal to listen to the one and to submit to the one who has authority in their life. In Deuteronomy 21, verses 19 through 21, we don't have a Johnny or Amy here, do we? But it might be that we have somebody akin to that. Let's be careful. Let's look at ourselves. Let's examine ourselves. Don't be looking at your children's children, your neighbor's children. Children, don't look at somebody else's child. Look at yourself. As a parent, as a child. If a man has a rebellious and stubborn son who will not hear the voice of the mother or father when they have chastened him and will not heed them, then the father and mother is taking and bringing to the elders of the city and the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He'll not obey our voice. He's glutton, a glutton and a drunkard. He's self-consumed. He's self-absorbed. He's sinning." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones, and you'll put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, there are a number of lessons we could draw from that, but one of the points I think we want to make is, you see, as we teach our children to respect authority, we have to be teaching them. There's always someone with authority over them. They don't run the world. God does. And in the home, father is the head, and the mother is the mother who respects that head, and she with the father, together as parents, are over that child. They have the authority. You need to listen to them. Because, you see, they're looking out for your best interests. They want what's best for you, even when you don't understand that it's the best for you, child. You see, one of the problems with Eli's sons, you see, they went astray in sin, and the father did not restrain them. Teach respect for authority, parents. If we're going to nurture them and bring them to maturity, we have to teach them the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul said of Timothy that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What a blessing it is when a child is taught the Bible from an early age, to respect it as the Word of God, and to in turn live it. See, teach our children by instructing them, giving them a foundation for their faith. Parents, you are not the foundation of your child's faith. The Word of God is. Now see, when we talk about establishing and teaching them authority, yes, teach them to honor you and obey you, but by doing so, teach them that you are under authority, and that we are all under the authority of God, and that the faith by which we live is formed by God's Word. The parent's not the source of and reason for the child's faith. If it is, there's going to be problems down the rough road. You see, make God the object of faith. Make His Word that which establishes faith. How shall they believe in that which they have not heard? Romans 10 and verse 14. Our children must hear the Word of God, must be taught it. Read it with them, teach it to them. By your life as well, show it to them. Show your love for the Bible. Show your respect for the Bible. Are you interested in the Bible? Show your obedience to God.
teach them God's Word, to nurture them to maturity. Teach them love.
Jesus said, in quoting from the Old Testament, in answering the man's question, what is the greatest commandment?
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second like unto it is this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two hang the law and the prophets. Teach them love. Bible love. Agape love.
Not the love the world defines, which is selfish, self-centered, and self-indulging.
Teach them what Bible love is. Teach them love for God and His Word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. We speak of love. We speak of relationships often. The psalmist had a relationship with God and His Word. Teach them to love God. Teach them love for family.
Don't take for granted the need to instill within them love for brother, for sister, for mother and father, for uncle and aunts, for grandparents, for mother and for father. Proverbs 1:27, and beginning in verse 3, the Word of God says there, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them, that they should not be ashamed when they speak of their enemies, or with their enemies in the gate." Our children should know the blessing of family, not view family as a curse in their life, but a great blessing that many, many, many people do not have, and that you have been blessed to have. And so value it, honor it, love it. Proverbs 17:6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Grandchildren are the glory for old men, the crown for an old person, for the aged. But this says, children's glory, the children's benefit is the father, is the parents. As parents, do we see our fathers and mothers as the blessing that they are in our lives? We have to teach that to our children.
We need to teach them love for brethren.
Love for fellow Christians. In 1 John 3:16-19, that love is discussed as one which shows itself in conduct and treatment of one another. When it says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He who has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his heart up from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" We need to be teaching our children to love our brethren, our fellow Christians, by instruction and by life, by showing them in our lives value of our relationship together in the family of God, by helping meet the needs of each other, not loving in word or tongue, but in deed and truth, in the conduct and our treatment of one another, teaching them love for neighbors and for enemies. Jesus said, "If we just love our neighbors, we're not any better than the Pharisees. I mean, they love their own." Says, how are we any better than them? Actually, it says, the tax collector, actually, rather than the Pharisee, "If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same." So he says, the publicans do as much. That is, those who are without God and disregarding of God. The sinners do the same. They love the ones who love them, but we're to love our enemies. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Love our enemy by seeking him good and praying for him, even when they despitefully use us. That has to be taught. That kind of love has to be taught. Parents need to be teaching it to the children. Parents do children no favors when they speak derogatorily toward those who have harmed them in some way, and speak evil of them. We're teaching our children not to love our enemies if we're that way. We need to be living love for enemies and teaching it to our children so that they will emulate and have that instruction before them. It says training them.
Training, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. A day is not a man-made or a woman.
In other words, you don't finish your job, parent, in a day, do you? We all know that, but you see, we can become frustrated sometimes and forget it. And that leads to the provocation that produces wrath. You see, Proverbs 19, look back there with me in verse 18. Proverbs 19, 18 says, chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. See, the parent's heart is set on the child's success. We set our heart on our children's success. And so he says, chasten, discipline your son, your child, while there's hope. Use the opportunity. But you see, that's not just in one day. That's having the endurance to keep on through many years of training the child. You see, of nurturing the child. The word here, training, idea, is the whole training and education of the children. It's education and it's correction. It relates to the cultivation of the mind and morals and employs for this purpose now commands and admonitions or warnings, now reproof and punishment. The whole array of training is necessary. We train by teaching. We train by commanding sometimes, by warning at other times, by reproving, misconduct, by even punishing when punishment is proper. All with the goal of training the child. You see, discipline begins with teaching. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Set the course before the child and train up that child in that way.
Beginning with teaching, you see, and that's why over and over in the first chapters of Proverbs we read before,
son, listen to the father. Father is saying, son, hear my voice. Look at chapter 4 with me for a minute. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Children, are you listening to your father? Well, I mean, are you listening to him? Are you listening to your mother? Do you know they love you and care about you and want your success? Do you know that what they have to say is for your best? Give attention to no understanding. Do you want to really understand, child? Look, he says, I give you good doctrine. I give you good teaching. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. You see, child, what you're now experiencing from your parents is what they experienced when they were children. Their parents taught them, and now they're teaching you. Their parents wanted what was best for them, and now they want what's best for you. Listen to them now. It all has to be filtered through the Word of Truth, God's Word, His Bible. But we're talking here about right and wise teaching. Listen, parents,
give that instruction. That's our responsibility, to give the training that begins with the teaching. And we have to be committed to it. We have to commit ourselves
for many, many years until that child is grown and that child is able to go out on their own and live as an adult in the society, as they put their faith in God, as they choose to follow His Word and will, and now themselves
establish families and their life and begin that process again. We have to commit ourselves to the ongoing task.
It takes discipline as a parent to do that. Remember, a day does not a man make. A day does not a woman make. We have to discipline ourselves to continue this work. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 says, you shall teach them, that is, God's commands, God's Word. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Do you see with me, please, that to teach diligently our children, God is telling parents, you discipline yourself as men and women of faith. You write it on your heart. You keep it before you. And then you teach it to them when you sit and when you rise up and when you lay down all the time, every day. But you have to discipline yourself before you can ever do that for your children. Teaching. Disciplining our children must continue. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. In times, discipline is going to continue by rewarding what is good and by correcting what is bad. Correcting disobedience. God to Israel said that He was a God who extends mercy to thousands. He's the one who said, honor your father and mother that it will be well with you in the land that you go into possess. You see, God said, I'll reward you with good if you'll obey me. And He teaches parents, if you'll obey your parents, honor them. Honor your father and mother. And you'll be rewarded. There'll be good come your way. But if you're disobedient, Cain was disobedient to his heavenly father. He let sin rule over him. Proverbs 23:13-14 speaks to the same point. It says in verse 13 of 23, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Now, he's not teaching child abuse. He's talking about corporal punishment that corrects, redirects, and delivers. Correct, by that redirect, and through that deliver his life from hell. Now that's God's Word, and man rejects it. Man says it's abuse. Man says it's wrong. Man says it's a crime. In a lot of places around this world, we've got to obey God. Do we have the faith to do it God's way? That's the challenge of continuing to rear our children. Discipline with equity. Be impartial. Fair, just, even-handed. Each child is different, and so there are circumstances with each one that these things must apply. But be fair, be just, be even-handed in disciplining, and you'll succeed in this work of nurturing. Discipline with patience also. See, provoke not your children to wrath. In Colossians 3, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. God with Israel was patient, but Israel refused, continually hardened themselves. God, blessed them, chastised them, punished them for their sin, continued to bless them, but they hardened their hearts. Sometimes parents are doing all the right things, just like God did all the right things with Israel, and still they harden their hearts. Still they reject what the parent is trying to accomplish for their good. You keep doing it, parents. Keep on being patient. Sometimes you have to deal with a strong-willed child. Just as we read a moment ago, Proverbs 13 and 24 adds to what we read a minute ago. 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son. He who loves and disciplines him promptly or early. A strong-willed child will test you and discourage you at times and say, what use is it? No, you just keep on. There is a use. There's a good use. There's a good benefit. There's a good outcome. You keep on teaching, training, correcting, redirecting, and delivering the soul of that child.
Every day it takes endurance. Every day patience to keep on doing what's best for your child. One final point here, and then we'll close. We need to give warnings as well at times. Nurture them in the chastening, or bring them up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. The word admonition is the idea of warnings. And look at Joel with me for a moment, the Old Testament. In Joel chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all the inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Now God, through Joel, is pronouncing an imminent punishment. The locusts were going to come through the land as a punishment, but also as a warning to repent, lest something even worse occur. And he says, tell it to your children. And so that they can tell their children, and their children can tell their children. Warn your children. We have to warn our children about the dangers they face in this life that can destroy their character. Be not deceived, child. Evil communication, evil companions corrupt good morals. For some have no knowledge of God.
1 Corinthians 15. Child, listen. Do not be deceived. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
There's the danger of the world that will destroy good character. The values of the world are not the values of Christ. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He may love the world, love the Father is not in him. Be warned, beware. Parents, teach your children the dangers of the temptations of the flesh. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11.
Parents, we have to teach our children. We have to warn our children. Warn them that in sin there is separation from God, there is distress in this life, and there is eternal death in hell in the next. Our children need to know about that. Teach them, warn them of the dangers that destroy faith. Be sober and be watchful, Peter wrote. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world.
Young people are tried and tested. Their faith is put to the test by the devil. He wants to eat you for lunch. You know that, young person? He wants to eat your mother and father for lunch. You're just a little bedtime snack. He'll gobble us all up. We need to be teaching our children to warn them of the dangers of things like peer pressure. You see, a faithless world resists faithful people.
Don't we know that? We need to be teaching our children that. The faithless world, people in the world that have no faith, they're going to resist you when you try to live your faith. Be ready for that. Know that.
And don't be discouraged by it. Jesus said, blessed are you when people do all manner of evil against you for my name's sake.
Warn them about misplaced priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
We have to warn our children about putting God first. Warn them about materialism.
And you know, one of the ways we warn them is also to teach them to use what they possess in good ways. Proverbs 3 and 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Not the possession that's bad. That's not what constitutes materialism, is having possessions. It's what your heart is toward the possession. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflowed with new wine.
Warn them of materialism, of covetousness. warn them of intellectualism as well.
Look at Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. He's talking to his son. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Warn your child about those who do not have an understanding of God, who reject the true and living God, and who urge them to do things on their own understanding rather than God's. That's our work.
Because you see, Satan is in the business of destroying faith. Teach them about the danger of refusing
parental discipline. Proverbs 3:11. Bear with me a few more minutes. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights.
Father, why do you spank the child? Why do you correct your child? Why do you teach him and then correct him? Because you love him.
Because you don't want to see him or her make the mistake again, lose their soul in sin, have trouble and trial and problem now and as well as in the next life.
Parental correction is motivated in love. There's hardship and regret and foolishness and death that results from rejecting godly discipline. Our reading in Proverbs 4:10-19
goes on to expand upon that very point. The path of the just is like a shining sun, and the father and mother that loves the child shows that path of righteousness to the child, teaching and then correcting, redirecting to deliver the soul from hell.
That's our God. That's what we need to keep on doing. What a great work you have as parents. To shape and mold the lives of the next generation. To honor God. To be obedient to God. By teaching them to obey you and to honor you. You see, God binds the generations together with the cord of faith and love.
It honors God. It honors the child and it honors the parents who will nurture their children in the training and admonition of the Lord. Instruct, correct, warn, redirect, and deliver their souls from hell. Don't give up. Endure. Keep on giving yourself in total commitment and your faith to the task, and God will bless you in that work, and the fruit will be reaped. Souls will be strengthened, souls will be saved. Thank you for your attention to God's Word this morning. It could be that you're not obeying your Heavenly Father. If that's the case, in your sin, understand that there will come a day of reckoning. We will give account to our Heavenly Father for how we've lived. And if we've lived in sin, the wages of that sin will be death eternally. He wants to save you. See, He loves you. And sent His Son to die on the cross so you can be saved. We urge you this morning to put sin away. In faith, confess Jesus as the Son of God, repenting of your faith, of your sins, and being baptized into Christ for remission of your sins. If you're a Christian, you know you sinned against your Father in heaven. You haven't made that right with Him. You haven't repented before Him and confessed it to Him. Do that now. If it's public, use this opportunity to set things right. We'll rejoice with you and with the angels in heaven. We urge you to respond to God while we stand and sing.